The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Second half of the show is live. It's been a busy one so far, and let us get right to our next guest. David Ubben will be joining us in a moment. And how about what is going on in college and college football and basketball? Upstarts are ruling the day, and maybe hoping to rule the day. We saw TCU in football. Who would have ever expected that to play for the national championship? And this Final Four is just insane. David Ubben joining us. David, thank you. There are a lot of reasons, I'm sure, for this, and I could speculate, but since you've done the hard work in reporting and writing, I'll let you give it a shot. What's going on here?
Well, I think if you want to say why all this is happening, I think sussing out the percentages would just be a guess. But I think certainly the transfer portal, the ease of roster building and new programs, it seems like, and I just think it's premature, NIL might be leveling the play field slightly, possibly. But ultimately, things are changing. It's harder to build out depth. And we saw TCU, the 32nd most talented team in America last year, right behind Georgia Tech and Missouri, play for a national championship. Never mind what happened once that game kicked off. And then obviously you're seeing in this Final Four, these four classes, or these four teams, have had one class rank in the top 20 in the last 4 years. Zero McDonald's All-Americans participating in the Final Four for the first time since 1979, since we've been doing seeding. So whether or not this is the beginning of a trend or a blip on the radar screen, ultimately, if you want to sell, hey, our talent might not be great, but look at what TCU did on the football field. Look at what Florida Atlantic, San Diego State, Miami, UConn did on the basketball field. We can get to the mountaintop. And I still believe stars matter. But if you don't believe stars matter, there's a lot of evidence you can point to now, a lot more than there was, 12 months ago.
Let me go back to football, then we'll work our way to the Final Four, which is crazy to think about some of the schools that are in there. In fact, almost all of them. TCU did it. I don't want to push TCU to side because they had an amazing year where they beat a lot of very good teams, including, we want to laugh about the championship game, but they did beat Michigan to get there, and that's often forgotten. But other than TCU, David, as you think back, has anyone else really come close to crashing the party in recent years?
No, you kind of get one team in the playoff every year that sort of quote-unquote doesn't belong. We saw Michigan State a few years ago. We've seen Washington. Obviously, Cincinnati got there 2 years ago. We've seen teams that can get there, but they didn't win. They didn't come close to winning, and certainly didn't do so in the manner in which TCU did. And then, of course, you look at the Final Four. There's usually maybe one team that you're surprised by, two teams you're surprised by. I think, UConn has been hot this year, but when you look at their total talent, and then, of course, you look at the other three teams, this is not the Final Four that you're looking for. And if you want to point to NIL, Miami, they've been pretty open about what they're doing. And, John Ruiz, Life Wallet, I don't think anybody was more public about the deals that they were handing out. And sure enough, Miami's sitting there in the Final Four with Isaiah Wong and Nigel Pack sitting there, counting their money from the Life Wallet deals. Worked out pretty well for them.
You have NIL, you have the portal. I'm wondering, and we won't be able to ask this question probably again, but in basketball in particular, maybe football to a lesser degree, what did the COVID extra year mean to universities?
Well, I think you're seeing obviously a lot of experienced teams. Teams that have been together a long time, teams that have played a lot together. But, I think when you look at it's sort of a question of, okay, well, if you look back at football, how does TCU get there and how do other teams not get there? Now, obviously, when you look at TCU and you look at the way that Sonny Dykes built that team, a first-year coach inherits a 5-7 team, they had some pretty key additions from the portal to help them become the team that they were. Obviously, they won a bunch of close games, but they got there. So without the portal, if guys have to sit out, you're not able to flip rosters, there's no way TCU gets there. But then there's the fact of, hey, there's teams that tripped up along the way. Alabama was not as good as we've seen last year. Alabama wasn't good enough to make the playoff last year. TCU was. TCU gets in the field. They win a ball game. They get there. Well, Alabama's not quite as deep as they were, you know, in previous years, certainly. Needed some help at receiver. The offensive line was not very good. So there's just so many dynamics at play that you can't point to one thing and say, that's why. You can't point to one guy and say, that's why. But you put all these things together, and it's just an incredibly complicated formula for why we've gotten to this point. But all I know is college sports a lot more unpredictable and a lot more entertaining the last couple of years than they have been, you know, for a while.
One more year, and then the questions a year from today I think are going to be even more intriguing with the playoff and football opening up. I know that there'll be plenty of time, and some have already gone back and looked, but just spitballing ahead, David, that is clearly going to open the door for the outlier to sneak in, and it won't be as difficult, nearly as difficult as it has been.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be really interesting. I think certainly the value of participating in the playoff will go down. You know, just getting in the playoff in college football has been an accomplishment. It's been something you can sell on the recruiting trail. The value of that, obviously, when you go from 4 to 12, goes down. But do you get a Cinderella? Do you get a team that wins a couple games, that goes on the road, upsets somebody, beats somebody, gets down to that Final Four again, and maybe gets to the national championship? I think that road is definitely harder. But in the modern era of college football, are we still going to see a team like a TCU, like a Florida Atlantic, like a San Diego State kind of crash the party? I don't know. I mean, you're guessing at this point. But I think certainly the reality is that, you know, that's kind of what I wrote about, is you can look at TCU, you can look at obviously on the basketball floor. It's possible. 5 years ago, I think you could have said it's impossible for a team that's outside of the top 25 in talent to play for a national championship. It cannot be done. Well, now it can. We've seen it. Now, can they win it? Can they fight their way through a 12-team playoff? Time will tell. But again, I think you can sell this idea that, hey, why not us, was kind of empty words not long ago. But now there's a lot more teams that can sort of, you know, paint that on the wall of the weight room and stare at it for 8 months until we kick this thing off.
Yeah, I'm wondering, because right now, I'm not talking about Kentucky and Duke and North Carolina, but a lot of programs in basketball, it's about making the field. It doesn't matter how you get in, whether you're in Dayton or anywhere else. But in football, a lot of coaches have gotten significant mileage out of being one of those four. Where do you think the schools will get the most in the future in being the 12th team or the 11th team? Because right now, it would save a lot of jobs to get into the playoff.
Well, I think it's all going to depend on where you're at. You know, if you're sitting there at NC State, or you're sitting there at Arizona, or you're sitting there at Minnesota and you make the playoff, that's going to be a big deal, right? Well, if you're at Alabama or you're at Georgia, nobody cares that you made the playoff. Can you win two games? Can you get down there and actually get to the brass tacks of, hey, who's actually competing for a national title? So I think it's all going to be situational. I mean, you look at Florida Atlantic, again, it's the same thing in basketball in the Final Four. Okay, Florida Atlantic is on this magic carpet ride. I mean, 3 weeks ago, they had never won an NCAA tournament game. Now they're in the Final Four, where a lot of proud programs have never even gotten before. And I think you're going to see the same thing in the 12-team playoff. It's just going to mean different things to different people in different places, depending on who cracks the field. I just think, again, you know, whether you're USC or whether you're Cal, you know, things are going to look a little different for you.
I would also think it's going to make the phrase bowl eligible a lot less significant.
Well, I think we've already passed that era, Paul. I think bowl eligible has been that's a very amorphous phrase these days, depending on what your APR ranking is, right?
Yeah, it means I'm probably still getting fired, but I'm going to sell it until the AD walks down to my office. David, great to see you. Thank you very, very much. David Ubbin, a fantastic piece in The Athletic. As we head to the break right now, more of your phone calls at 855-242. What is the number here again? 242-7285. I've only done this show a couple of hours.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Breaking news here from... Is this the Bud Region? Well, Larry has escaped a battle with K-Dub. And Squirrel knocks out Augie, so we have, is this the, we have Larry and Squirrel. That is a Elite Eight matchup as we are, Woodstock Region update. You know who the favorite here is. I-Man and Cheerleader. We are voting on that right now. William from Maryville. Handsome Joe. I-Man and Handsome Joe currently leading. Subject to change. Let's get back to the calls here. And Billy from Philly, who stirred up a legitimate Hornets test the other night with his call. Hello, Billy.
Thank you. Hi. I was calling about a possible suggestion for the SEC and basketball.
Okay.
And I got the idea from Jay Wright, who has become, I think, you know, he's going to make more money as a commentator than he ever did coaching.
He's brilliant.
He is so stolen the show. If he didn't go last, you don't need anybody else on the stage. He's just fabulous. So his analysis of the loss that Alabama had and they're getting knocked out was very interesting. It was kind and it was wise.
Tell me what he said, because I shot my television after the game, so I didn't see it.
Well, I'm about to tell you, because it's like one sentence. He talked about, they showed the stats of Miller's performance in the playoffs, which were awful. And then he said, he's a freshman.
Ooh.
He's only a freshman. And I realized he's really onto something. He explained it by saying, he's saying, this guy needs a run and gun, fly up and down the court, fire it up. If you let get set and five guys are now defending one, you're going to have a hard time. They're going to beat you. He needs a game that he was denied, and he couldn't adjust, and the coach couldn't adjust. And mostly it was him. It wasn't the coach. And that was the problem. So I think there are two ways to run basketball nowadays. The first system, which the SEC could be tempted into, is to just keep buying talent. That works big time in basketball because you only need five guys. And you can, you know, switch around. Football is a lot harder. The second thing, which I think Jay Wright would support because he did it at Villanova, you got to do what Baylor did 2 years ago with COVID. Keep guys hanging around.
Right.
I think the SEC could be trapped into the Calipari problem. They've all done it now. Everybody's one and done now. And it's not whether Miller goes in 1 year. I think it's tragic if he goes to the NBA this year because he's not ready. And I really... You know, all I can say is if he hadn't been involved in the shooting thing, he could stay around. But
Billy, let me ask you this, though, before you get to your next point. What good does it do if he's in the same system where he's gaining another year, but how do you measure that versus a year of of playing in the Vegas League, of playing, you know, 80 some odd nights and maybe more against the best of the best, with hopefully a great coach. Now, there are a lot of places in the NBA you will not find that, but there are a few that you could get that.
You are presenting a very, very healthy and reasonable alternative. I think the college experience is a great experience, and he's not going to have it. He's not going to have it because he's cursed. He's going to always be the Alabama guy in there with a gun.
Right.
And so whether he likes it or not, he's out. And I think it's tragic that he misses 4 years. The idea that college is a joke and you just go and play basketball for a year here and a year there.
I'm interrupting you, but I'm going to give you an argument of a guest we had a few weeks ago who suggested this then and later after the game. He maintains, sure, and this guy's in the sports agent business, he maintains Brandon Miller would have been better off just getting out of there, period. He was dealing with a suffocating cauldron of pressure that may or may not, we may never know, but it looked like it caught up to him a week ago.
I agree. That's part of it. You know, that's possible. I just heard Jay Wright, and he said, you know, he's just young. He needs the experience. So I agree with that guess. So here's what my point is. The Calipari system doesn't work. You can't just do one-and-dones. And the SEC would be demeaning to its universities to say, we're just going to bid the hell out of everything every year. Miami can pull this crap. But SEC has to be more than that. And I think the model is Baylor. I think what you've got to do is try to build a culture where people will stick around so that a Miller-type guy is not out in 1 year and trying to play in this pro league. I think it's the college's job to sell the college. I think Alabama has a great story. You're going to have four wonderful years here. And I think that should be on their mind. Now, you won't win every year because it's so easy to upset people in basketball. Only five guys on the court at one time. The system is vulnerable, and of course you have to work the portal and you have to do all that other stuff. But what can the university do? I'm thinking, you know, Mitch Daniels, who, you know, was that the right guy who was the governor of Indiana? And
he was at Purdue.
That kind of a person who's a real statesman who gets it. But we got, you know, this is about schools too. It's about all this violence. It's about the whole fed up with the university routine that we, you know, saw exposed when the guy from the, you know, Big Ten came on and talked to you. I think they should, their only choice is, real choice, is money and bidding. They got to stay in that game, but they don't have to devote themselves to it. And you're going to stay around. This is a real program. We're going to make you better. You're going to be happy you've been here. It's harder to do in basketball than it is in football, but I can't see, I'm listening for all choices. I can't see another alternative. You've got to try to
build.
Billy,
I think you've raised a really important point. In the SEC, as you know, upgraded dramatically a couple of years ago. Greg Sankey and others pushed better coaching, better scheduling. They got all that, and they get eight in the tournament. But unfortunately, in basketball, it's not what you do in November. And if you don't have a good March, your season is forever forgotten. And I totally agree with you. And as I agree with you, I'm also telling you what you already know. It's not going to change.
Well, I think you got to, the question is, what do we do now? You had a guest, David, who was on before me. He was really good. He explains all the problems.
Sure.
Basketball, as Barkley, when he had this interview that got everybody stirred up,
right,
he doesn't like basketball anymore. He's right. It's not as good a sport. The game isn't as fun. The events aren't as good. It's not as TV friendly. It's too easy to have three teams that don't belong in a big tournament normally in a big tournament. It's crazy.
Let me give you the other side of it, though, for a second.
Please.
I think you know where I work, and I'll, you know, at the risk of upsetting anybody on a higher level than me, which would be most everybody I work with. What do television executives care about? How many people are watching? And you already know this, but this has been so far one of the most watched NCAA tournaments in a long time. Now, I wonder what's going to happen Saturday, because I can tell you, as a college basketball fan, I don't give two rips about the first game on Saturday afternoon. I really don't. I mean, I have no intention of watching Florida Atlantic and San Diego State. Do you?
No, I thought it was
I will watch
me.
The second game because I'm interested in UConn, and the Miami story is mildly intriguing to me, just to see, you know, how good money, what money will buy you nowadays in college basketball.
Yeah. Well, but that, you know, that's,
because the winner of that game is going to win it. I'm not just saying this to be self-serving here, but I'm far more intrigued by Friday night in the women's tournament because you have so many amazing stories with the young woman from Iowa, the South Carolina story, the Mulkey story, the upstart in Virginia Tech. But Billy, once again, we should be paying you. You give us a lot of room, a lot to chew on here. Thank you very much for the call. We are back with much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, welcome back. Let's continue. Mickey in California is up next. Hello, Mickey.
Hey, what's up, Paul? I have a question for you.
Okay.
Who you think people would miss the most if they left the show for good? Jim or Legend? My mind is on Jim, but I hang up and listen to your answer.
Yeah, I tell you what, I won't answer that question. I'll let other people answer. So the question is, who would you miss the most, Jim or Legend? What about you, Randy? Do you have an opinion?
Well, I think I'd miss Jim.
You would miss Jim the most?
Yeah.
Legend? Oh, okay. Well, I can't answer that question yet. I do have an answer, though. And I will share it with you on my TikTok page. Let's talk to Jamie next. Hello, Jamie. Hey, Jamie, you there?
Hello. Yes, sir.
Well, good. Great to hear from you.
How you doing, Mr. Feinbaum?
Very well. Thank you.
I just wanted to call, represent Baton Rouge a little bit better than the guy who called. Sound like he was in a ditch with one hand on a bottle of whiskey and the other one with the phone.
Yes, sir.
And Augie, you called last week, I think it was. He's supposed to be from representing LSU, and he's talking about they lost one game in baseball, and he's ready to fire the whole coaching staff.
He said that he called in after LSU lost in 10 innings to Arkansas in the first game of a series in which they won.
Yes, sir.
And he said LSU is a fraud. I mean, that was,
right.
You talk about a guy.
Is that the example of saying whether playing or what?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
That is currently is the worst take we've had in a couple of weeks. Well, Jamie, thank you. You represented the state very well. Ross is up next in Chicago. Hello, Ross.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I certainly can.
Okay, what I want to talk about is that I've seen on ESPN some of these so-called experts that say this team has to do this or this team has to do that when they draft and make it sound like if they don't do it, they're an idiot. I have a problem with that.
Hey, Ross, I think more misinformation and idiotic statements are made in connection with the draft than any other moment on the calendar because you're talking about something that, and I'm not saying these experts don't have football knowledge. They do. They have great football IQ and acumen, but they're just making wild guesses on things of which most of the time they really don't know firsthand. They're being fed by agents, by scouts, by GMs, by people that all have agendas.
Well, I really appreciate what you said there. And I think people really have to understand that. And I applaud you very much for saying that.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much. Lanier in Charlotte. Go right ahead.
Yeah. Hey, Paul. I'm a big Alabama fan. My kids graduated from there. I'm a retired Presbyterian minister, and I've called in quite a few times in the past.
Sure.
But
absolutely. Great to have you back.
I wanted to speak about the Alabama basketball and just how much it was disappointing and hurtful to lose in the Sweet 16, but to realize what a great story it had been until the murder. And I saw an article by, I think, the lady who was at the indictment hearing.
Carol Robinson, yeah.
AL.com?
Yeah. Correct.
And after that, the next day, and then tracing statistically, this article I read, excuse me, it wasn't by her, it was somebody later, recently, and they traced the statistics of Alabama basketball from then until they lost in the Sweet 16, and it was just a complete downward trend. Every statistic, percentages, everything. And I'm just saying, what a tragedy that one kid would make such a horrible mistake. And I'm not saying the tragedy was the girl, obviously, who was murdered. And I totally get that, and everybody's heart broke for that. But the sadness of how one bad decision by one kid, basically, and then, of course, bring in Brendan, too, would affect an entire state and an entire team in national basketball performance and everything. And I just want to say, as a person who cares about other people, that I just want to say to kids who might be listening, really try to walk the line and let the Lord guide you and help you, because one mistake can change not only your life, but a lot of other people's lives around you. It doesn't just affect you. It affects other people. And I just wanted to say that because I don't, maybe that's already been said. I don't know, Paul.
Well, no, Lanier, I don't know whether it's been said, but it has not been said as eloquently as you have said it. And I couldn't help, as you were talking, to think about my own experiences in life and people with whom I've been around and the mistakes that we've all made. And
right.
It's very, even though I know you just simply called in to express an opinion, it's a very profound message that I hope people will listen to.
Yeah, well, I hope so.
Well, you be well, and thank you for sharing that. And, I have a lot of mixed thoughts about what happened to Alabama. And on one level, it was a terrible ending to the season. Conversely, knowing the national media like I do, what Alabama would have gone through this week in Houston in relation to the tragedy, I think would go way beyond anything that had previously occurred. Now, you weigh all of that. Nobody wanted to lose. Nobody tried to lose. It was it was about as bad an ending to a successful season as I have ever seen. Let's get to more phone calls here. And Clayton is up next in Arkansas. Good afternoon.
Let's get two more phone calls here. And
hey, Paul, can you hear me?
Yes, I sure can.
All right, man. I've been trying to call this show for the past 2 weeks, man. It's good to be on the show finally.
Thank you very much.
All right. The one thing I want to talk about is Stetson Bennett in the Georgia football. Man, I know Bryce Young and I know C.J. Stroud. They're both good quarterbacks. I feel like Stetson Bennett is better than Hendon Hooker and kind of a little bit better than Will Levis. But I understand that Will Levis is pretty much a prototypical quarterback. He's the right build, great arm. I just want to get your thoughts on where Stetson Bennett could go in the draft. Could he go in the first round, second round? You know, what's your thoughts on that?
Clayton, all I know is what people say, because I have no – I mean, I know I view football like a fan. But what I see of Stetson Bennett – in relation to the NFL draft, I don't think he's going anywhere near the first round, based on the experts. And I think the hardest thing in the world is to separate what we all watched against countless teams over the last 2 years. That's already baked into the cake. But it's not. It doesn't seem to be affecting anyone who evaluates the NFL. The only, I think the Hendon Hooker question is more legitimate, and I thought Tannenbaum said something completely idiotic yesterday when he said that Hendon Hooker should be the fifth player taken based on what he did against Alabama. I agree. It was a magnificent performance. But by saying that, you're forcing yourself to move Stetson Bennett into the first round, too, based on what he's done against everyone, and he did not do that. We'll take a break. More of your phone calls here when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back. Glad all of you are here. And John is up next in Alabama. Hello, John.
Hey, how you doing today, Paul? I promised I wouldn't say that, but
I'm glad you did. We're doing great. Thank you for calling.
But I just wanted to respond to the Lanier guy from Louisville, I think, about the – yeah. So, I mean, what mistake did he make knowingly that anybody else knows?
That is still a mystery. As of today, we don't know that, other than the people with whom he hung around with. That's the only mistake you could say. He hung around with the wrong crowd.
Yeah, that's all I could think of. But I was like, it's almost like he was putting it on the kid himself that didn't knowingly know he made a mistake that I know of.
I think that's the problem, John, is when you're involved in a story like this, people make up their mind, and I don't know the answer to your question. I think I know. You're trusting the people that were his coaches and administrators to hopefully give you a straight answer on that.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm more focused on the actual kid itself. He's what, 19?
He's 19 years old.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, it's a lot to put on him. So I mean, you can't just say, hey, he made a mistake. Maybe he did. Maybe he did make a mistake. But was it knowingly? Did he knowingly make a mistake?
Well, John, I can't tell you that. So you're right. It's an open-ended question. Thank you very, very much for calling. We appreciate that. Let's continue with more calls. And Johnny B. Good is up next.
Hey, Paul, how's it going?
Very well, Johnny.
I've been noticing a trend at the first of the show of some strange calls, and I was discussing that with a psychologist friend of mine, and he says It's called FDS. Have you ever heard of that?
FBS, Randy, you know what that means?
Never heard of it.
Don't know.
Well, it's when we can't get the show and other programming takes up your time. FDS hits levels that causes excessive drinking, getting chores done, being productive workers.
Oh, I see.
It's called Feinbaum deprivation syndrome. And it's like when we can't get the show and we're up, you know, we're away, it causes a type of craziness. And then it's for right now, we don't know of any cure.
Well, Johnny, I want a cure for every known disease except that one. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Augie, no cure for him. He is up next.
Paul, the first hour of your show really lowered the cachet of my Louisiana public school high school education.
Man.
I mean, you did me no favors there, my friend.
Those are your brethren.
God, can you imagine? See, that's what I have to overcome.
Not only started speaking French, I started thinking French.
Comment ça va, mes amis? Comment allez-vous? But, you know, this is what I have to overcome when I tell people I'm from Louisiana. At first, they're not sure where I'm from. And then when I say Louisiana, they're like, oh, God, are you sure? But, hey, I've overcome it, I think. I'm sure a lot of people won't agree with that. But Heather Denich reminds me of Anne Boleyn. Don't ask me why. She just does. you know, Anne of a Thousand Days.
Oh, sure.
And Hugh would be in my moot court competition team. Whether he's read his lines or prepared them, he's ready to go. He's got his position. He sticks to it. He sticks to the point. He doesn't deviate. And he doesn't get distracted by you, professor, who tried to throw him off course. It won't work.
Hugh, yeah, he was reading so well. I tried to rattle him. And he may have missed a vowel, but he didn't miss a word.
No judge. He's got his case. He's going to present it regardless of what you ask him. He's going to get his point across. And did I hear that you buried Clemson today? I mean, you buried them, right?
I did, yes, and I'm proud of it.
They're dead. I mean, the Clemsonites, are they not even listening? I figured by now they'd call you.
No, they've got their own network now.
So, Paul, something that
they're watching a Duke North Carolina game with Zion Williamson.
I don't even think they have baseball to fall back on this year, do they?
I'm sure. I mean, last year they had NC State, or was that the year before?
Remember
the controversy? I think it was 2 years ago, wasn't it, when NC State during COVID?
Oh, yes.
I don't know. I see the network on around our building because I think some people work here that work there. But I'll get back to you on that.
See, Paul, my psychology of jumping on LSU after Arkansas blew them out the first game, it woke them up.
It did.
So I take responsibility for them blowing out Arkansas.
You upset some people on that.
Well, good. I should have because, I mean, again, the best baseball team in the history of college baseball should not have been blown out by Arkansas in the first game with the best pitcher in the world in Alex Box Stadium. So the next 2 days they came alive and they showed that the transfer portal guys they got are actually good. But, Paul, I don't know if you talked about this during Super Bowl time. Jalen Hurts led Alabama to a national championship all but for a half of a game. He was the leader of that offense. Then the last half of the game, Tua took over, and he was the hero, and it seemed like, of that whole year. And Tua has not, after that moment, he didn't win another national title. So they both get drafted into the NFL. Of course, we know the story about Hurts. Do you think that Hurts is looking back on this and smiling and saying to Alabama, even though he still says he loves them, hey, you guys made a big mistake, and I told you so.
Well, he also has a degree from there. I don't think so.
But do you not think
I know this sounds like after the fact, but Alabama would not have won a national championship had Jalen Hurts remained the quarterback in the second half.
But that wasn't his senior year either.
No, he had two more years after that.
And the next year, of course, Tua leads him back into
Don't forget, Jalen Hurts won the Georgia game. He was the hero of that game. But my only argument with Saban is he should have put Tua in earlier. I mean, that game was on the verge of getting out of control.
So you're taking the opposite position of me.
I'm completely opposite because Jalen Hurts was – the inferior player. And it doesn't matter that Jalen Hurts nearly won a Super Bowl. We're talking about that moment in time. There were rumors that Hurts might get pulled in the game in the Sugar Bowl, and I think it was against Clemson. And they didn't really need to pull him out of that game, but they desperately needed him in Atlanta that night. And it's a, I mean, they were down 10, 13 points. I can't remember what it was, but that game was nearly over had Saban not made the change. We're up against the break. We have an hour to go. We hope you'll stick around.